John 5:16. It was a man who was sick, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. And by healing him, he got in trouble because the man needed healing, but it's wrong to heal people on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do any work. So the Jewish people checked the law and they said, Jesus, you just broke the law. You're not supposed to do good on the Sabbath day. I don't know why Jesus just didn't. He didn't understand that rule. And they said, no, God said rest. Oh, yeah, you mean rest. Well, but if you do something good on the Sabbath day, that's good. So that can't be wrong. So they decided they'd kill him for that. So that's kind of rough. So Jesus, this is very amazing to me, but you know, in those days that wasn't amazing at all. You weren't supposed to do any kind of work, and the fact that Jesus was doing a healing didn't make any difference. It was a work. And so they said to him, hey, what are you doing? This is Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Don't do any servile work. And all Jesus did, well, let's see what he did. Let's see what he did on there. Yeah, that was that guy down by the pool. I've been in that pool. I have. And the water was troubled, you remember? And Jesus stepped up and he said to that man, take up your bed and walk. Well, there it was right there. See, there's the labor. Jesus should have said, lay there until tomorrow and then get up and shout hallelujah. But golly, this was the Sabbath day, and you're not supposed to carry your bed around. Imagine a guy carrying his bed around. That, of course, it wasn't a bed like our bed. It was just a mattress. In those days, it was just a big mattress. So the guy's carrying his mattress around. So I said to him, what are you doing? Carry my mattress. He says, it's a Sabbath day. You carry your mattress around like that. Put that down. And the guy said, the guy that healed me told me to carry my mattress. Now, I wish Jesus had known the law. I'm sure if he had known the law, he would not have said that. But he is ignorant of the law. Imagine his father made the law and he was ignorant of it. No, Jesus knew the law. And he deliberately said that. He was naughty. He deliberately said that. Go ahead. Just take up your bed and go on home. You're healed. You're well. And the guy was excited because he didn't want to leave his bed there for someone else to take. That was the only bed he had. You know, imagine walking out of there excited, dancing and leaping and all that. But the guy forgot his bed. So just take up your bed. Walk. But this is the first day the guy ever walked, so he was pretty excited. I mean, he was beside himself. But he was also hanging onto that bed. Ha! I got my bed. I'll do that. You know, in the movie sometimes you see people doing stuff and it's like, she forgot her purse. that I notice stuff like that. You know, I'll notice stuff like that. Because it's like real life to me. Those movies are not movies to me. They're real. And Peggy can tell you, when something's about to happen, I just jump like that. Get out! You know, I'll talk right to the movie people because I'm right in there with them. I'm scared when they're scared and laughing. And I'm just right into it. It's hard for me to watch that. That's why I don't watch a lot of television, because I really get caught up in it. You know, I'll jump. I'll scream. You know, everybody else just calmly watching the thing, but not me. Well, this man did what Jesus said, and listened to how Jesus defended himself when they accused him. Said, what is this we hear? Did you tell this guy to do some work on the Sabbath? So here's what Jesus said. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to kill him. Just for carrying your bed on the Sabbath day, you're going to kill Jesus? What about the guy carrying the bed? Kill him. He's the guy that did it. But he blamed Jesus, and so they were going to kill Jesus. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to kill him. Isn't that amazing? That's extreme to me. That's extreme. That's terrorism. That's extreme. Y'all see this? I mean, get out of Sunday school. Get into this passage. It's weird. This is weird to kill Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's God's Son. Don't you think he could make a little rule change like that if it was a good thing? The guy was being healed. Told him, take up your bed and go from here. In other words, you know, pick up your stuff. Get out of here. You don't belong in here anymore. You don't need any pool. I just healed you. Well, Jesus actually didn't do any work. He told the guy to do some work. Small technicality, but I don't think they should have killed Jesus. They should have killed the guy. No, shouldn't have killed anybody. But that just shows you how religion can get perverted into stupid ideas like that. Is that what God would do, is kill a guy because Jesus, his son, healed him? You see what I'm saying? I mean, to us it seems absurd. But to the Jewish people and to religious people today, things that are absurd make sense to them. Like a Muslim putting a bomb on his body, blowing up a bunch of people on a bus, that seems absurd to me. That seems absurd. I don't even see the point of paying for the bus. You just lost your money. Because the guy got on the bus, paid his money, and then blew himself up. And he didn't get his money back. He didn't even get much of a ride. To me, this is absurd. Losing your money like that. But you see, religious people can go bananas. They can go berserk. Because they can't think straight. Because religion can sometimes mess your mind up. Now, whenever religion goes against nature, it's not God. God will never have any religion go against nature. It isn't because it goes against Jesus. It isn't because it goes against Moses. It's because it goes against nature. The thing that's wrong with polygamy is not Jesus. The thing that's wrong with polygamy is goes against nature. Somebody say, well, in the old days they had a bunch of wives. Yeah, they had a bunch of problems. You say, well, they have a bunch of problems with just one wife. Yeah, that's true too. That's true, but we're not arguing that point. It's just hard to have two wives in the same house. It's not going to work. That's just not going to work. Having one is bad enough, but having two, oh my gosh. I can barely make it with Peg. Imagine if I had two. One to cook and one to get the slippers, that kind of thing, you know. I don't know, that doesn't seem all that bad. But, you know, it's God's thing. I think it'd be great, actually. I got to go back in the Old Testament to figure out how they did that. No, but apparently there's squabbles among the wives. There's squabbles. You know, I'm the chief wife. No, I'm the chief wife. Remember Jacob, he had Leah, the blurry-eyed one. Not, you know, she wasn't that pretty. And, you know, I guess like that, I don't know. But then they had the pretty one, Rachel, Rachel. You know, and apparently he liked Rachel better than he liked Leah. He didn't like her that much because she wasn't that pretty. And as a matter of fact, that the father cheated for that one. Am I thinking of the right one? Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of like cheated him, told him, well, you didn't get Rachel, the one you wanted. In our country, you have to take the older one first. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just work another 6-7 years, you know, then you get this one. Imagine having two wives and one of them was blurry-eyed. You didn't see one that pretty. Yeah, that's bad. Huh? Oh, Peggy's pointing out something pretty interesting. Jesus actually came out of Leah and not Rachel. Huh, that's interesting. That God can take something that's wrong and bad and get good out of it. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. So, Peg always goes for the underdog. She's always going for the underdog on those things. So don't pay attention to her comments. She goes for the underdog. You know, God is so strange. But I want to show you something here. Here's how Jesus answered it. Because here's why they wanted to kill him. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, Shabbat. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. You're not supposed to do any work. You're not even supposed to go 2,000 feet. You step in any one direction, 2,000, that's it. Don't go very far. You can just go this far, but no further. So you weren't allowed to go that far away. It's kind of a limit there. And this guy's walking around with his bed banging into people and whatnot, and he's so excited and jumping and screaming, and they catch him. But here's what Jesus answered. So Jesus answered them, and he said, "My Father worketh." Huh. "Hitherto, and I work." Wow, do you see that? There's a lot more to this than you realize. What Jesus is saying, I didn't heal that man. I didn't heal him. I didn't do that. My Father in heaven did that up in heaven, and I just repeated what he did on earth. Did y'all see that? He didn't say, I'd heal the guy. What he said was, my Father healed him up in heaven, and I saw it, so I repeated it down on earth. In other words, Jesus never did anything except what he saw his Father in heaven doing, and he never said anything except what he heard his Father in heaven saying. So that saying that he just said about seeing what he just saw was from the heaven. It was from God. My Father worketh hitherto, up until now, and I work. In other words, I'm carrying on his work because he's still working and I'm still working. I thought the Father was finished. Remember when he created the world in 7 days? Then he sat down. That was the last time he did a lick of work. Not so. Jesus just ruined that theory right there and said, though the creation was finished, the physical, natural creation, nothing would ever be changed. I know they're working on cloning and all kinds of interesting things, but I'll tell you what, you can't get anything out of nothing. And you're not going to change anything. The only thing you can do is modify what's already there, but nobody is going to be able to make new species or new anythings. Every time they make it, it'll be degenerate. You heard me say it? You heard me say it? It'll always be deadly. In every case, it's not going to work. Anyway, you can't change it because the Father says finished. Finished means end. Darwin apparently wasn't listening. So he thought things are still evolving. Now, nobody's arguing with what they call microevolution. But there's no macroevolution because the Father finished. 6 days over. Too bad, Darwin. Kick him out of SMU. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Send him to TCU over here. Teach a course on, nonsense. The guy's a bad scientist. Not good science. And besides, a lot of his followers now are discovering that it's not even mathematically possible. Give a trillion years, still not possible. The odds are impossible. Not only that, there's no evidence. Not only that, there's not one fossil. One. No hard facts, evidence. Could go on and on. The point is, Darwin's an idiot. And he just did that because he was, trying to get even with Jesus. He didn't do that because he's smart. So what you read in the National Geographic or in, the Smithsonian Institute books or whatever, it's a bunch of nonsense because they're committed to this theory, which in 1959, when I was, was that the year we graduated? 58, okay. That was my first year of college. That was the year in Chicago that McGraw-Hill and other bookmakers decided to call evolution a fact, though it isn't one. When I was in school, 1958 and back, it was just a theory or hypothesis, the theory of evolution. Then it became a fact, not because it is one, because it isn't one, they just printed it in the book as though it were. And they put all those fancy pictures in there and, made the little ape getting to the bigger guy and finally the modern man and all that. That little monkey to the bigger monkey, bigger. There is no such picture. They made that up, folks. This is made it up. Like the geologic column and a lot of other nonsense that don't exist nowhere. It just didn't anywhere. They just made that stuff up. Scott, you studied geology, and in every geology book, they lay out this column that doesn't exist in reality. It's just pure made up. They'll have the Cambrian at the bottom and, the blah, 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 and all this paleontological nonsense, and they just, put it as though, oh, that's a Cambrian. Oh, that's animals from the Cambrian age. That's from the Wisconsin, you know, and so on. They do all this nonsense. And the truth is, it all happened in 1 year. It all happened in 1 year. And not only that, there are big inversions. Big inversions. Where suddenly, the bottom layer is on the top. And they'll go, oh, that was an inversion. 100 miles long? You know, so, you know, scientists haven't been able to figure that stuff up. They're called anomalies. Oh, that's an anomaly. That means they can't, it doesn't fit their theory. Why? Because it ain't so. And there's no proof of it whatever. There is no geologic column like that. Because they'll find the animal in the bottom layer, and then they'll say, see, that proves how old that is. What proves it? Which one can you date? Well, the animal, because he's in that rock. Well, I know, but which one gives the date? As it is, make it up. It's called circular reasoning. The animal must be 50 million years old because the rock is. Yeah, well, how do you know it's 50? It could be 49.2. They don't. There's absolutely no way to age any of that stuff. How do you know God didn't create it 90? You know, how do you know it didn't create it 2? You don't know. All they know is what they're looking at. They don't can never, ever, ever get back to origin on anything. Can never tell when it originated. Nor can they tell when it's going to die and perish. Never can. They know nothing of origin, nothing of destiny, and they know nothing about purpose. So science can't answer those questions because they're historical. Can only answer universal type questions. So there's the limit on science. And the highest science could ever do would be what you call probability. Now I'll show you how stupid that idea is. Probability. Remember a man named Einstein? Anybody ever remember that guy? Einstein? Einstein. So Mr. Einstein, you know, what he came up with, it's probable that the earth is like this, but he thought, even though it's probable, I say it might be different. And he came up with what's called the theory of relativity and changed the whole basis of physics, even though it wasn't probable. That shows how high probability is. Nothing is solid until it's solid, because it could be otherwise. It's always open to new scrutiny, new concepts, new ideas. So a theory is a theory is a theory is a theory is a theory until it becomes a fact. Now here's something really uninteresting. You can boil water on your stove, and you can boil it, and all of a sudden at 212 degrees, it'll bubble. Prior to that, it'll just, you know, get hot, but it won't bubble. You won't see those little boop, bubble, boop, bubble. You won't see that. So there it is. And you can do that in China and in America. Now that's a scientific fact. As soon as it hits 211, it still isn't bubbling. 212, boobly, boobly, boobly. There it is, right there, scientific fact. Well, that's not very interesting. But that's as high as science can go. That's as good as you're going to get. And if you change the altitude, change it a little bit. A degree or two if you're down on the bottom of the ocean, or maybe you're up on top of a mountain, you get a few degrees difference. That's about it. Same law. In other words, science doesn't have answers. All you can do is observe some stuff, and repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and repeat it all over the world at the same conditions, and then it's kind of a scientific fact. But evolution of the species, not a fact at all. I just told you, science can't handle individuality. They can't handle history. History is all individuality. It's not water boiling at 212. Now, What I want to say is we don't know anything that's going on. Here's what Jesus says. This is something that you can't check out. You can't check this out scientifically. My Father up in heaven is working. Well, I thought the guy finished. We finished creation. Creation's finished. I'm telling you, you're not going to get anything new out of creation. Same always was, same always be. Oh, that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. Solid. Unchanging. Fixed. And you know, scientists are always trying to be, you know, creative. Well, you can't be. A sugar beet doesn't improve. Well, we got better sugar beets these days. No, you don't. That good sugar beet Let's say it was an eight, was there from the foundation of the world. The fact that you just killed off the six, the five, the four, the three, the two, and the one didn't mean you improved it. You just killed off all the other attributes. So, of course, that sugar beats real eight sugar. But the truth is, that's just breeding, selection. It was always there. There was no better sugar beet. But they'll always say that. New and improved. Nothing is new and improved. It's not new and improved. You just simply eliminated all the other ones and kept this one. For example, a Holstein cow. A Holstein cow. You all know what I'm talking about. That's one of those moo. You know what a cow is. And they're black and white, okay? And they go, meh, something more or less like that. And you can get, how many pounds can you get off a Holstein cow? Yeah, there you go. See, scientific. A lot. You get a lot. How many gallons can you get? How many, you know, quarts. Well, see, a Holstein cow can be bred. You can breed those things so that the one that'll give 20,000 gallons a year, 25,000 gallons, 32,000 gallons, and you can actually find some Holsteins like that, and you wipe out all the others, and then you have a herd out of those kind of good ones. You say, we improved the herd. No, you didn't. You just simply eliminated all the ones that only produced, you know, 10 or 15. Now, a Jersey, you can only get about 5,000 out of that. And if you get a really fancy Jersey, maybe 6 or 7. I mean, that's it, though. You're hitting the top right there. So people who are in the dairy business don't use Jerseys. They use Holstein. You can see why. But what that is a matter of breeding. And each cow has a different poundage that you can get out of them. So 25,000 pounds is very good for a Holstein. So if you're in the dairy business, you get Holsteins. Well, they cost a lot more and they're bigger. And you got to feed them a lot of food. So it really isn't such a big savings. Not only that, a Jersey has 3.5 butterfat. Did y'all know that? I mean, as pastors, we learn a lot of stuff, I'm telling you. 3.5 butterfat. You can't get that out of a Holstein. His milk is not that rich. So the Jersey was a good deal. Not only that, how many families can eat that much milk of a, you know, you get a Holstein in your backyard, you know, 20,000 gallons a year coming out. No, that's why you do goats. They don't put out that much. I mean, you know, you don't have to sell the whole neighborhood because it's expensive. Now, what am I pointing out? I'm pointing out that science can't answer all these kind of questions. You're not improving anything. Nothing has changed. When he says, my father's finished working, he's finished working. There's nothing in creation that's new. Nothing. There are no news. Nothing's new. New and improved. That's a lie. Nothing's new. Now, you've been brainwashed from the time you've been a little kid. But up until the 19th century, nobody ever said those words. Ever. Nobody. It's just a couple hundred years ago they started talking like that, as though we were actually improving things. You're just killing off a bunch of, you know, this part of the species and so on. It didn't improve anything. You just simply selectively breeded that which was already there. We're trying to do that in the church, try to get a better breed of people. And all you got to do is get rid of the bad ones and try to keep more good ones and have them produce more good ones. We're trying. We're getting pretty far, actually. I think if you look at the third row, you see, doing pretty good there. Skip two rows, and you get to the seventh row back there, and so on. So, you can't change anything. You know, nothing new under the sun. Absolutely nothing new. And all this stuff about cloning, you know, tissue, and all this kind of stuff. It's just game playing. You're not going to improve on anything. Every time you, every time you come up with something new and improved, it'll have new problems that we've never encountered before. So you say, now we have, you know, wonder drugs. Yeah, that just, you just ruined your civilization. You know, that improvement's going to cost you plenty. There are very few improvements that are real improvements. Now, there are some, but you have to be highly selective. So every time you change something, you're actually playing with nature. You're altering it too much. You're pushing it too far. You're going to come up with something degenerative. That's why there are diseases now. I thought we were going to get rid of diseases. Remember 20th century? You know, hey, we're going to get rid of all diseases. A war on disease and drugs started in. I remember when I was a kid, you know, drugs, new thing, you know. Going to have everything, everything you can think of. We got a pill for it and a drug for it. And you know, they even had pictures in the paper of people with big heads because we were going to get smarter. Mine is still small. I couldn't get one. You know, try to eat some of those pills to make your head bigger. Have bigger brains. Everything man has come up with is just a bunch of nonsense. You're not improving on anything. People aren't happier today. They're not happier. No improvements. Still the same old thing. People are still having the same old problems. Isn't that funny? So here, this is funny what Jesus is saying here. My Father's still working. I thought he finished. He said it's finished. Remember that? He said it's finished. It, the pronoun, it, that refers to something. It didn't refer to the fact that he's not working. It referred to the fact that he's not working on creation. Now he's keeping it. Because it has entropic powers in it that make it decay. So the law of thermodynamics, first, is matter can neither be created nor destroyed. All you can do is alter, transform those basic chemicals, those basic elements, those basic, you know, things that make up the earth. And nothing new. When God created the world, he created aluminum. Magnesium. You know, he just set up a little chemistry set. Then he began making stuff out of it. Yeah, pour a little of this in here. I think I'll put some vinegar in this one. This will be for the girls. You don't see the humor of that. You know, I'll put some sugar in here. That'll be for the guys. So girls are vinegar. No, I got it wrong. The guys are vinegar. Girls are sweet. No, God made us all. And he made us in his image, right? In fact, he didn't even have to do it with his hands. He just spoke it. And after speaking for 7 days straight like that, cow, grasshopper, he just created everything that way with his mouth. But actually, he didn't call it anything because he gave that to Adam. Remember that? Adam got to name it. And Adam, you know, just really tuckered out himself. He fell asleep, and that's when the woman came. That's when she came. He just tuckered out. So anyway, it's good. It's a good story. So God is still working, not on creation. What's he working on? Redemption. Ah, now that the earth was made and all the elements, and it's entropic, man is going to perish. The law of sin and death. Man's going to perish. And so God comes up with an idea, I'll redeem it. I'll set up a redemptive plan. But he didn't come up with that idea after creation. He came up with that idea before creation. He had Jesus laid before the foundation of the world, that stone that was later rejected by men, that stone was laid before there even was an earth, before there even was a people. Jesus was already there, and it said he threw it down, and he laid it down. He just tossed it down. That was the foundation of the whole earth by which everything is measured. Jesus was the first rock. When the Bible says rock, it's talking about Jesus. He's the first rock. And on him is built the entire universe. God spoke it into being on that rock. And you don't know that. Nobody knows that. There's no scientist that ever figured that out, that Jesus is a rock. There's no way. They can't figure that out. But he's the rock. That guy's the rock. And he's the rock upon which the whole thing is built. All, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything on earth, grasshoppers, trees, bushes, clouds, people, everything is built against that rock. It's measured right against it. It's got to be exactly lined up with it. Otherwise, it'll be off. So Jesus is the first rock. He's called the cornerstone. Remember he said that? I am the cornerstone. There it is. Jesus calls himself a rock. I'm a cornerstone. And any building, if you go to the corner, you'll find a cornerstone. That's the first rock that was laid. And everything has to be measured by that rock. If you get that one right, you get everything else right. You get that one wrong, everything else is going to be wrong. So he built you according to that rock and the cow and, you know, the Guernsey and the Jersey and the, you know, everything is built on that rock. It's perfect. And it's not going to change. We're the only people that are messing around and monkeying with it because the monkeys haven't monkeyed with monkeying. They're not monkeying with that. They're not changing that. Monkeys are still doing what monkeys have always done. Have you ever noticed that about that? Monkeys, if you go to the zoo, they're pretty much the same tomorrow as they were last week. Have you ever noticed that? They're not evolving. You know, all of a sudden you see, you go down there and you see the monkey got a hand like a man. You know, and the next week you come and, you know, he changed his nose and got a human nose. Now then I'd believe in that. I've never seen that. They look pretty much like monkeys still. And they've always looked like monkeys. We even have pictures in the ancient world of monkeys, and they look just like monkeys through today. I'll tell you, monkeys haven't changed. They're not into evolution at all. They're into staying the same. You know, that actually was said by God, that I'll make everything after its own kind. It's never changed. And Darwin knew that. Darwin was out to explode the fact that, well, there ain't a God. I'll prove it. So he came up with this theory, which now became a fact in 1959 in Chicago. Interesting. My father's working still. So what's the father working on right now? In Jesus' day, he was working on redemption. What's he working on now? Not creation, not redemption. You know what he's working on now? Sanctification. He's glorifying himself through you and me, and he's remaking us by the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so now he's working on that. So Jesus said, oh, my Father's working still, and I work. In other words, I always do what I see my Father doing. I'm not doing anything. Jesus didn't do one lick of work. He just did what his Father did. He just copied his Father. He didn't do anything on his own account. Like, hey, I think I'll go to the horse races today and see if I can't hit the winner. No, Jesus could have done that. Man, what an edge he'd have had over the rest of us. But he didn't do it. I would have done that if I were Jesus. Take an hour off from his saving work. And I would have had a little fun. I mean, Jesus had power. Man, imagine walking on water, you know, or something like that. Hey, there's some kids down there. I think I'll walk on water and just give them a little something interesting for, you know, maybe a half an hour or something like that. I mean, the kids would have loved it. My God, Jesus walking on water again. Look at that. You know, I mean, I would have done it. I'd have just done it. Hey, kids, you want to see something? You know, I would have done it. But Jesus never did because the Father in heaven wasn't doing that. He won't do what the Father doesn't do. If the Father had done it, he'd have done it. What he's saying is, that guy that I just healed, the Father healed. And that guy that I said, take up your bed and walk, the Father said that. And at Pastor Jim, Pastor Mark, Pastor David, we're not supposed to say anything on our own account. Now, I sneak a few things in. I don't know if Mark does or not, but I sneak some stuff in. Because I don't think everything I say is from heaven. I think a lot of what I say is nonsense. In fact, I cover it with a lot of nonsense in case anybody would take me seriously. I want you to know I'm a total joke. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I don't want anyone to get mixed up. So I just say a bunch of nonsense. I'm very good at it. I'm just good at just filling it in with filler. But Jesus only said what the Father saith. And I have no authority when I say a bunch of nonsense. I don't have any authority to it. I have said so many things that weren't born in heaven at all. Did anybody ever figure one of them out? I don't know if any of you are sharp enough to have caught me. Did you notice when I went off and got on my own? Has anybody seen that? Notice that? Because I don't always do what my Father in heaven's doing. Sometimes I do my own thing. I'll just go off like that. I'll just spin off. You know. Hey Jim, what are you doing? What? I'll be right back. I just want to have a little fun for a minute and then I'll be right back. I'm a repenter. I'm deeply repentant after spinning off like that and ending up in a ditch somewhere. God, I'm sorry about that. Could you get me back? I'm a crier outer. I'm big time. I have to be. I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for the mercy of God. God, I've spun out again. Jim, this is the third time today. I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. I'm working for a two time. If I could get it down to two times. I just spin out a lot. Is anybody else like that? You just spin out. I feel like that's probably why I'm in this church. Because a lot of you deserve me. You don't deserve anything better. You don't deserve a one-time spin out. You're down to a three. You're down to a three. You deserve me. Because you're like me. You're like me. Let's see a show of hands. Are like me, kind of spinning out every once in a while. You just have, you know, you'll say a little swear word, or you'll drink a beer. I'm thinking of the guys particularly. You surf the internet or do something stupid. They just do it like that. So that's why you got me. It's kind of a punishment on you. It's kind of a punishment. He has a sense of humor. I feel I'm here because God has a sense of humor. But you know what? Every once in a while, what I said, it'll be God. It'll be God. You have to kind of wait. Like, there it is. There it is. Ooh, quick, get it quick. Because it kind of goes away. I've covered over a lot of stuff. God wants us, as we mature, to more and more say only what he says and do only what he does. It's better. It's better. It's better. It's better. So it'll be an abundant life for you. You kids need to listen to this, because you need to not do your own thing. You need to do what your dad and mom tell you. Okay? Can I have your word on that, Joel? All right. So, you know, when you trust your parents, that's a good thing. But sometimes they make mistakes. I'm not saying they're perfect. Have you noticed one or two things they've done wrong? Just keep it to yourself. Don't say anything. Just kind of when he's not looking, kind of give me a wink like that, because I'll know. I'll know that you're clever. So, my father worketh still hitherto, and I work. What's Jesus saying? What I'm doing, I'm not doing. I'm not here on me. I'm not here on my account. This is not me talking. This is the Father. When you get mad at me, you're getting mad at the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's why they killed him. Not because he broke the Sabbath. That was just the excuse. What they hated about him was he was saying, you know, this, what you just saw, what makes you mad right there is, I'm saying this, Dad told me to do it. No! He gave us the law. We're the law keeper guys. You can't trump us. I just did. So Jesus was using the Sabbath to heal people, and that irked them. Because they were saying God, but what they really meant was his law. You know why? 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 Why do people say law instead of God? Because they don't want to deal with God. They want to say God's law, but what they really mean is just law, because they don't want to deal with God at all. So legalistic people aren't really talking about God, even though they say God. They're really just talking about, I want anything to keep between me and God so I don't have to deal with it. So this religion is the biggest way to stay away from God. The purpose of religion is to keep yourself as distant from God as possible, so you say God in order to get rid of him. Best place in the world to get rid of God, right here in the church. You cannot introduce him here. This is the hardest place. Right here, where everybody's supposed to be Christian and so on. Jesus said, my father's working still, so he just went out in the marketplace. He just did it. He didn't have to go into the temple. He could go anywhere he wanted. Do it in the temple, do it out in the street, do it in the pool. He could go wherever he wanted to. Hey, take up your bed and walk. And the guy took up his bed and walked. It was the wrong guy, too, because I remember that guy. You remember that guy? Remember him? This is a guy I would never have helped. I'm just saying as a personal point here. If I'd have walked into that pool and I'd have seen someone, you know, with a headache, another person with polio, another person with, you know, one ear off or something like that, I would, you know, with all my power as Jesus, I would have helped that person. But he went to the one guy that was in the middle that was a whiner and a griper. I wouldn't even help a guy like that because that guy didn't deserve it. That guy did not deserve it because here's how he would go. What seems to be your problem? Well, every time the water's trouble, I go to try to get in and I can't get in. Now see, a guy like that, I would have no use for a whiner like that. I wouldn't even help him. Well, I'm not going to even... I wouldn't even talk to him anymore after that. That kind of whining, that makes me mad when people whine like that. You know what I'm saying? I just have no use for a person like that. I would have made fun of him or something. I just wouldn't have helped him. I'll save my miracle for somebody that deserves it, not you. I'm selective like that. Is anybody else like me? I don't know. That's probably the wrong attitude, but I would just leave that guy. Well, you know, you don't know how bad it is. He's just such a self-pitying, pathetic person. I wouldn't have helped him. Every once in a while, I'll get in that condition where I'll be pathetic and self-pitying. Has anybody ever done that? Where you get there and you're going, you're just like the guy. And you wish that Jesus would come and help you and you don't deserve it and you know it. Hello? That's why Jesus healed that guy, to give everybody else hope. Because that could be you. That could be you. So Jesus helped this guy. I'm going to tell you, when they saw him, of all the people in there, it's like, well, I mean, because the other people that were in there just jumped in the water right away before that guy got in. First one in gets healed. So they just knocked that guy down, pushed him down because he was crippled. So he couldn't get anywhere. So he put his bed right on the edge, see? But they just come and put their foot right over it so he couldn't get in first. And people are mean that way. And that's why he was pathetic like that. He was pathetic. But I would not have helped him because of his attitude. I would have said, look, you develop a more Christian attitude. I would have had a little teaching. I'm a teacher, and I would have sat there and taught him. You know why you're not getting in that water? I'll tell you why. You have a rotten attitude. When's the last time you praised God? All right, you see, this is the problem with you. I would have. I tell you, I would have had a lot of scriptures, and I would have done that. I would have done that. So you see, Jesus came and he found the guy that was least qualified to be healed, the most undeserving. And he touched that guy. You know why? Because the Father said, step over that person with polio. Step over that person with a headache. No, not that one. No, not that one. Now, he did not have an ethic to go by. Because if he had an ethic, he'd just have to heal everybody. And he had the power to heal everybody. But the Father didn't. The Father picked out the one guy out of that whole crowd. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Who touched me? Whoa, there's a crowd. Everybody's touching. No, somebody touched me, and power went forth. She just kind of snuck up, and she had this thought. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just get that close to him. So she just quickly reached over, touched the hem. Boom, she was instantly healed. Who did that? Who? Somebody touched me. Nobody, master, nobody. This is a big crowd here. About 100 people touched you probably. No, somebody touched me. Jesus knew. He knew that was somebody there. I'll tell you, that poor daughter of Abraham, for 12 years she'd been bleeding. It's hard to be, when you have a steady bleed like that for a day. Imagine for 12 years she had the continual bleeding like that. And she was still alive. And she had just enough to just touch the edge of his garment. Because she thought to herself, you know, God is good. I know I don't deserve it. I know I've probably done some horrible sin or something that made me have this bleed thing. I'll just go touch the edge of his garment. Maybe that'll do it. Jesus hadn't said that. Whoever touched the edge of my garment first. He hadn't said that. That's what I said, Jesus. I would have made up a little rule like that. Whoever gets to me first gets this dollar bill or, you know, whatever. But he didn't say that. The woman just thought that. But she was thinking God was good. See, now that impressed God. So the Father in heaven quickly said, just touch the edge of the garment. And she did. And then Jesus wasn't put off by his disciples because the Father in heaven said, pay attention. Somebody just touched you. Find out who it is. Powerful. You have a Jesus that notices everything because your Father in heaven, who made you and who wants to redeem you, notices everything about you. Stop looking to people and pills, pastors and priests. Start looking to Jesus. He's your hope. So here's what he said. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. And now, we're just not going to kill you now because of this Sabbath thing, you know, working on the Sabbath and telling the guy to carry his bed. We're not going to kill you because you said the Father did this. That's blasphemy. The Father wouldn't work on the Sabbath. He finished his work. Now, if I were Jesus, I would have said something like this. Yeah, he finished it on creation, but not redemption. But just don't even give an answer. I would have answered him. Is anybody here like me? I just love to talk. I just love to say something. You know, and I had a smart aleck off like that. Here's why Jesus didn't do it. Father in heaven didn't do it. Jesus checked up to see if the Father's going to say something. A lot of time, I'm going to pick on the women here. A lot of time, a woman will just speak up, whether she has anything to say or not. Just speak up, because she has something to say as far as she's concerned. She just wants to say something. But you should wait. Wait upon the Lord. Check with God. See if he's saying anything. And a lot of women don't even want to wait because they know he probably wouldn't. But they're just going to get it in anyway. Hey, I'll just say it and ask for forgiveness later. You know, isn't that awful? I'm telling you, our women folk are bad. Our women folk are bad. We're trying to train them, teach them. Wish you'd all get back in line. Get in your spot. Don't get out of your spot. So all you got to do is see what would God say. I've taught that to Peggy. Peggy, when you're going to say something, make sure it's Jesus. For her, that was like, I'll never hear Jesus, so I'm just going to say it. I knew that. See, that was a little trick on my part. Just check with Jesus first, and if he says say it, okay, say it. Well, she knew, I ain't going to hear Jesus. I'm just going to say it. Because Jesus wants to say it. Peg, don't say too much. You're saying way too much. I think Jesus stopped talking. But I have no control over Peggy because she thinks he's talking all the time. She's always correcting me. Peg, are you correcting me because Jesus is correcting me? Yes. Just say it. Think about it. He's probably not talking. I think he was going to say, Jim, Master, you are such a blessing. I thought that's what I heard him say. She doesn't hear that. I'm trying to teach her how to hear that. Therefore the Jews, verse 18, sought the more to kill him. I'm getting somewhere here. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Wow! Now I'm going to tell you something really strange. I'm going to make something out of this. If I speak to you, if I say something to you, and I say, thus saith the Lord, Or if I say, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear what the Spirit is saying. That's the same as making myself equal with God, meaning what I say, that's God. Wow. That would be powerful. You could speak the words of God. If you could say what God just said, it'd be like creating the world. It'd be like redeeming the world. It'd be like transforming people's lives. It'd be something powerful. It would never be destructive. It would always be powerful. Making himself equal with God because he called him his Father? Is God the Father, not our Father? That's why he taught us to say, our Father, which art in heaven. Why? Because now you are equal with God because your Father will reveal something to you and then you can say what he says and do what he does. You say, well, Pastor, how can I see into heaven to know what he's doing? The ceiling is there. And then there's clouds above that. And he's so far away. No. You're not in the Orthodox Church. In the Orthodox Church, God the Father is way up in the dome. And you have to look, if you go there to Russia or something like that, you look way up. God! You up there? And he can see you way down there, a nothing, insignificant blob. You know? But fortunately, in a dome, he can hear you. So he can just whisper it. God, are you up there? He can hear you because it's a dome. But I tell you, we have a better religion. In our religion, you don't have to have one of those domes. We don't even have one here. You can just talk to him because his word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Where did we get it? We got it out of the Bible. We don't have to go and find a picture of him. We can just talk to him at any time because he's always speaking. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't that amazing? Whoa, I'm a sheep. Whatever God is saying, I need to say to you, to him, to the enemy, to everybody, even to myself. I need to talk to myself. Soul, why are you cast down? Why are you depressed? Has anybody ever here been sad? You need to talk to yourself. Find out what God is saying to you right then and there. What would God say if he saw what you just saw? But from his point of view, it might be different than yours. You see, what Jesus was saying was, I'm not my own person. I'm a trustee of the grantor. I don't act for myself. I don't speak for myself. I don't do anything for myself. I only do what the Father shows me, speaks to me, tells me under his law. Not just his law, also his provision of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it isn't just the letter of the law that I speak. It isn't just read the Bible and quote it. It's also according to the spirit of the Bible, which transforms me. I don't speak my own words. I don't have my own spirit. I'm poor in spirit. I speak his spirit. I'm led by his spirit. So the trustee is someone that God has appointed that says, don't you dare speak your own word, only speak mine. Build people up, edify people, strengthen people, teach people, train them, transform them. Don't let them just believe without doing. Teach them how to believe and want and do. Grow them up. Grow them all the way up until they're just like you. You see, what we're supposed to do is reproduce ourselves. I'm supposed to go from a young child to a young man to a mature father. And that's what you're supposed to do. Same thing. You go through those stages. And when we're all done, our churches will be full of mature men and women of God. Isn't that amazing? That's quite an idea. How does that happen? Just by seeing him, hearing him, beholding him, we're changed. Beholding him, we're changed. From one degree of glory to another 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 degree of glory. In other words, as it is in heaven, so on earth. As it is upstairs, let it be downstairs. How? We got to hear him. You got to see him. You got to know him. This is eternal life, that they know him. The reason why is because I'm hooked into heaven. Why? Because his spirit is my spirit, or his spirit dwells in my spirit. We're spiritually one. Why not then be psychologically one? I'll tell you why. Because we don't want to die. We want to keep ourselves. We don't want to lose ourselves. But you need to let go. You need to surrender. Not die physically, die psychologically. Surrender. God, not my will, but thine be done. Let's say it. Not my will, but thine be done. In all things. In all places. No matter what. That's a trustee. That's someone who doesn't have his own account. That's someone who doesn't pay attention to his own stuff. That's someone who says, Father, I am here. My meat is to do your will. I don't have a will of my own. Not my will, but thine be done. The problem today in the church is there are no broken wills. God's will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. We're picking and choosing. Well, I think I'll do this. Whoa, you don't get to choose. You have to check with heaven. What's heaven doing right now? I don't know. Well, you have to know. You're his sheep. Sheep hear his voice. Unless you're not his sheep. Well, I think I'm one of his sheep, but I just can't hear him. Well, then tune out the other programs you're listening to. You must be listening to some wrong programs. Because his sheep always hear his voice. You're just hearing a lot of other voices first. Here's the deal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You got to put God first. No, put channel 3 on, channel 18. You just got to have his channel, number one channel. God, this is your God channel. Just put that channel on. Turn all the other channels off. Don't listen to your wife. Don't listen to your husband. Don't listen to your pastor. Don't listen to anybody unless they tell you the word of the Lord. Well, how will you know? Because the teacher dwells within. You got a teacher inside of you. If you can hear his voice, you can hear his voice through people. You know what he just said, that's the word of God. My Father worketh still, and I'm still working. In other words, God is still working even today as I'm speaking to you and living before you. That's the Lord acting and speaking. Did you know that tonight we could see a miracle? But you don't need miracle. What you need, you can have miracles, but what you really need is blessings. Miracles are only for a few minutes. They don't last very long. But blessings are forever. They never stop. A blessing comes from wisdom. A miracle comes from favor. You don't need the favor and miracle and short-term, you know, fix it up. Let's fix it up right now. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Okay, that's true. You do. But what God really wants, that's juvenile. What he really wants is you to have continual blessing by maturing, becoming like him. So you don't need to cry out for miracles all the time. Miracles are really for outsiders. Miracles are not for insiders. Miracles are really signs to outsiders that God is there. What you need is blessing so that the world can see you. You have the words of God. You have the maturity. They can see it in your life. They can see the light and the salt in your life. So Jesus said these words. Listen to what Jesus said here. Making himself equal with God. The Jews were right. What Jesus was actually saying was, when the Father speaks, I speak. When you, they said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No, we want to see him. I just said, you can't see him. He doesn't, he's Deus absconditus. He's hidden. He can only be seen through his trustee who obeys his law with his provision to bless the beneficiary. Problem today is the beneficiary being you, the members of the church, you're not getting the benefits because the minister is enriching himself at your expense. He's eating the sheep rather than feeding them. I don't know if there's a difference or not. Imagine the guy sitting down, you know, going to feed the sheep and decides to eat one instead. I mean, that particular lamb didn't enjoy the meal that day. I know I was supposed to feed you, but I decided to eat you instead. So ministers are eating up their people. They're eating them up. They're devouring them instead of feeding them. How do you feed them? Give them the word of God. Like he healed that man. That was the word of the Lord to that man. Take up your bed and walk. That was the word of the Lord. He healed that man of something happy, something excited. And here these religious people were frowning and they were mad and nasty and they wanted to kill. I don't know. Religion got off there. Everything's upside down. Have you noticed? Come on, you're the last great hope of humanity here. I have so few members left. Please get it, somebody. It's powerful. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Oh, well, if you don't get it, it's all right. I'm on Social Security. I've told you. It's okay. It's okay. That's okay. Then answered Jesus. Now, Jesus always got something to say. No, he doesn't. He only says what his Father's saying. So what he's about to say is what the Father is saying. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. He's only going to say what he heard his Father right then, that minute, that second saying. Every second you're making a decision whether to say yourself or say your Father. How do you know the difference? Well, it's a big difference. Huge. If it's you, it's going to be, you know, something nasty. Something not edifying. Something not wrought in God. But if it's God the Father, it'll be something powerful. Let's hear what his powerful words are. And they're in red. I got them in red in mine. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. There it is. What can Jesus do? Nothing. The only thing he can do is what he sees his Father in heaven doing. The Son can do nothing of himself. That's a true trustee. You are not supposed to do anything except what you see your Father doing. That's why you're here. Powerful. Don't do your own thing. Do what your Father tells you to do. Do what you see your Father doing. Well, not everything. Joel, same. You watch your Father. Keep your eyes on him. Follow him. Do like he does. That's why you're here. You're following your Father's footsteps. Very powerful. Now, your Father will teach you how to turn to Jesus. Right now you're listening to your Father, but pretty soon you'll be listening only to Jesus. Have you started that already? Started transferring from your Father to Jesus? Not yet? Okay. That'll be next week. Because your Father is not perfect, but your Father in heaven is perfect. So you start listening to him. God, speak to me. Tell me what to say right now. I'm about to hit my little brother. See? And the Father will say, don't. Right? That's not right, is it? Does he ever hit you? No. Because you bite back or what? No. It's good. You guys are a good family. You got good parents, apparently. Who's your pastor? Dude, I'm telling you, you guys are blessed. The Son can do nothing. That is amazing. The Son, a son. You know what a son is? A son is someone who only does what his Father does. That's a son. That's the way I taught my children. I don't want you to do your own thing or what the other kids do. I want you to do what I do. What? The imitators of me. What? Love Jesus. Put all your hope in Jesus. I would sing at the table sometimes, and the kids hated it. Dad, what are we doing? We're just going to sing here, a little free singing. Just kind of, Kurimandriyatam Ratanikiya. Dad, we don't know how to do that. Well, I know, but just kind of go along with it here. And they hated it. Dad, could we eat? No, we're not eating until we have a little, a new song. Let's just give God a new song that he's never heard before. You know, and that new song is something born in heaven that no man knoweth until the Lord revealed it. And so we'd raise our hands and do that stuff, and the kids hated it. Oh, God, Dad, please, can we just eat? No, we have to read maybe a chapter here tonight, and thank the Lord, I found a good one. I found a good one. And we'd read the Bible, and they hated it. They hated it. Dad, please, we read the Bible last night and the night before. I know. We've got a chapter a day. Yeah, we'll finish this in about 4 years. We'll have this thing done. Don't worry about it. We'll have this thing done. They loved it. We had when the kids would come up for, you know, maybe a slumber party, I'd wake them up, you know, like early, because they'd been up to 2 or 3, you know. Then I'd wake them up about 6. All right, everybody. And I'd stand up on the fireplace. All right, everybody. I just want to say something as Kara's father. We're glad you're here. And I know you've all come for a Bible study reading here to hear about Jesus. And I'm serious, see? And they're just, you know, like, what? What? They're looking around at each other. They don't know if it's serious or what. And Kara's not saying a word. She's like frozen stiff. Thank God you're here. It's time to hear the word of the Lord. And of course, I'm totally sober. You know, they don't know what's going on. I ruined more outings like that, you know. We had fun in my house. It was great. But what he seeth, listen to this. The Son can do nothing of himself. And picture yourself saying these words. I can do nothing of myself but what I see the Father do. Wow! That's a son of God. That's a daughter of God. Someone who never does except what pleases the Father. I told my girls when you go out somewhere, only do what pleases me. And then as you get a little older, only do what pleases the Father in heaven. That's what pleases me. What pleases me is that you don't please me, but please the Father in heaven. And that kept them from drinking, smoking, you know, chewing. It did. They don't chew. None of my kids do. I'm serious. They don't. Why? Because we honor Jesus. We're just going to do what Jesus said. Even when I spanked them, it was only because I saw the Father in heaven spanking them. I'll tell them, I see the Father spanking you right now. No, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm really. Go get the stick. No, Dad, the Father just put the stick back. Kids are clever. They're clever. He just put it back. He said I was okay. It was into mercy right now. Oh, did he say that? I had fun. It was fun with kids. They get the concept. They are cool. He just put it back in the drawer. Okay, we'll put it back. But don't be doing wrong again because the Father might get mad. You know, and that made it fun. That made it exciting because when they got a spanking, they knew you deserved this. Now, Peggy didn't quite have the humor that I had. She was vicious when she did it. I wasn't. You know, she's just meaner like that. She never knew. I mean, she did later, but she didn't even know. I would have many times say, all right, kids, I'll give you a choice right here. Mercy or law? Which do you want? Dad, mercy, mercy. Okay. So then I'd spank the bed. I'm going to whack that bed 3 times just like I'd whack them. And then I told them, now go out and tell your mother and have a little crying on you. Go out and tell them that you were disciplined and you're not going to do it again. They were laughing. No, don't laugh. Laugh. Cry. Cry. I'm sorry, Mom. I won't do it again. And Mom thought, well, good. You deserve that. You know, you got a good one. And she hated it when she found out later that I didn't even spank them half the time. I just couldn't. They were so cute. No, it's because the Father in heaven loveth you. And he would always rather show you mercy than to apply the stick to you. He only does that because he has to. And the kids learn that. It's because you loved me, Dad. I know why you did that. It's because you loved me. It's because you loved me. You all understand? I had to check with heaven. What did God do right then? Is God going to yell at him or is he going to show him mercy? You see, I didn't just follow his law, the letter of the law. I followed his person. You have to see. Seeing is not the law. Hearing is not the law. Seeing and hearing is a person. Jesus was saying, I don't need the law of Moses. I can talk to my Father directly. I can hear him from heaven. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you can hear God. If you have the Spirit of God, you can hear God from your spirit to his spirit. It'll never go against the word. It'll never violate the written word, but it'll be better. It'll be greater. It'll be something powerful, showing if a spanking is the best thing, then spank. Check, see what heaven's doing. And I told the kids, look, I don't want to do this, but the Father in heaven is going to spank me if I don't spank you. And I'd rather it be you. You know what I mean? I mean, you know. Because they'll get over it. Now, sometimes they even hand them the stick. I say, you know why you've just disobeyed? It's because I'm a rotten father. I think you need to spank me. And I'd lay down on the bed. They wouldn't do it. Never did my kids do it. They wouldn't do it. Dad, I can't. No, go ahead. I deserve it. The reason you're like you are right now is it's my fault. I was not a good father to you. Go ahead, spank me. Hit me hard, too. They wouldn't do it. Isn't that neat of kids? They knew it goes to me, Dad, not to you. You're the dad. You're the dad. How much more our Heavenly Father needs to apply to us the spanking and not us accusing him, not us angry at him, not us spanking him. My children never did it. You know why? They knew I loved them. I'd do anything for them. Even if they misbehaved, I'd still do anything for them. They knew it. Unconditional love. No condition. Same with Peggy. No condition. There are no conditions. No conditions. Except if she weighed 400 pounds. I've told her that. Once it gets over 350, that's it. No. There are no conditions. There's no conditions. If she gives burnt offerings at night at the table, there's no conditions. Peg, how come we're always burning the peas every time, and the corn, and the beans? You know, said how the stove goes fast. Well, I'm telling you, Dolores, you can ask her. The stove goes fast. What do you mean the stove goes fast? You've had it for 3 or 4 years now. Stand by it. Stay right there. Watch it. But she didn't. She doesn't watch it. She'll go off, go on the phone and do dishes and whatnot, and then come back and they're all burned. Night after night after night, I'm eating. She won't eat it. Well, eat it yourself. Well, Peg, could you turn the stove down? I tried to come up with, logical. No. It make no difference. She was irrational. So I learned to praise God for the burnt offering. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for whatsoever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son. There it is. The Father that loves the Son will show Himself to the Son. It isn't the Son trying to see the Father. It's the Father showing Himself to the Son. That's what love is. That's what sonship is. You be with your boys. You show yourself. That's what God wants. He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. Inordinate time. I'm not a really good person, but I'll tell you one thing. I spent a lot of time with Jesus. I'm going over all my stuff and all the bad stuff and everything. I just get it all out. I spend time with Him. That's where you get to hear Him and know Him. I hear so much from the Father. I know it's from God. I can't even share it with anybody. It's so much. It's so wonderful. I wish I could just teach 12, 20 hours a day. I could just keep going. So much. I'm revelation. Why? Because the Father loves you. It isn't that the Father doesn't want to reveal it. It's that you don't want to get the revelation. Are you His? Don't you want to know what He's thinking, what He's saying, what He's doing? Ask Him. People say, well, I don't know how to hear God. Well, if you try asking Him, well, I can't hear anything when I hear. I don't hear anything. Well, just say it clearly, like, God, should I do this or not? Something simple, not, oh, God, Thou who inhabitest, don't go through all that stuff. Just God. Should I go or not go? Should I take the job or not? Simple. Why make it so complicated? Just ask Him what you want. Remember Jesus would say to somebody, what do you want? That's kind of simple. He wasn't saying, work for about a half an hour trying to, show me how much you really mean this. He didn't say that. I'll tell you, a lot of people when they pray, they go into long hours agonizing as though a good work was going to help. Like if I really pray, it sound really sincere. First few minutes may be wasted, but finally I'll get into it. Really sound holy and spiritual. God, Thou who madest the universe. And people go through all kinds of gyrations rather than just talk to Him. Why be phony and fake? Just, God, I love you. Now here's the deal. I need something. And I know I'm just using you, but here's the deal. And I just talk plain to Him because He knows what games I'm playing anyway. Why pretend like He doesn't know? God, you know how treacherous I can be. But here's the deal right now. I know I don't deserve it. You and I are agreed on that. But here's the thing. You're looking bad. If you'd help me out on this one, you'll look good. Think of it that way. And you get all that. Just get it out. Say what you want to say. Don't beat around the bush. God, help that person right now. Not try to work up some theological, religious kind of something or other. Stop it. Other people get on, I've heard a lot of people when they pray, they get a little child voice. God. Rather than just talking your normal voice. Why do you have to be 8? You know what I mean? How old are you? 9, okay. Well, when you were 8, And so a lot of people feel like God likes 8-year-old voices. As though they're going to get somewhere with God. Just speak in your normal voice. Why affect? Why have an affectation? Why not just be normal? Some woman who's really a rough woman, just talking rough in real life, then she'll get in prayer. And God, this is your little daughter. Yeah. It's like their baby talk to little kids. Hi, you little cutie. It's like that. Just talk normal. God is not impressed with all that. That is going nowhere with God. Now, He loves you, so it's okay. But I'm just saying, just stop that. It doesn't help anything. Just say what you want to say. God loves you. He loves you. The Father loveth the Son and shows Him all things that himself doeth. Boy, that's the way to treat your children. Let them come along with whatever you're doing. Let them see everything. Isn't that powerful? I always took my kids with me, wherever I would go. Of course, they didn't want to always go. But I always gave them an opportunity. You kids want to go with Dad today? Yeah, where are you going, Dad? Probably the bookstore or something. No, Dad, no, I don't want to go. No, you'll love it. We'll just be there for 4 or 5 hours. It won't be that long. It's not like the other day, 8, 7, you know. No, it won't be that long. We'll go to the kids section. I'll get you some ice cream. Okay. And then I could talk them into it, and then they could spend the day with me, get to know me. I'm over in this section. This will be your section. But they learned my values. I'm passing on values. I always warned them when they got older. You kids are missing out. Someday when I'm old and gray, you'll wish you had spent an evening with Mom and me instead of going out with your friends, having a wonderful time. You could be sitting here maturely talking things over with us. Dad, it's a real temptation. And then out they would go. What if we died tonight? Dad, I'm going. And they just didn't, they didn't see it. They didn't see the joy. Imagine missing out on times with Dad and Mom. You miss out times with your Father in heaven. He wants you to go with him. You don't know where he's going. You don't know what he's going to say. Go with him. Spend time with him. For the Father loveth the Son, show him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, gave them life again, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment to the Son. So when the Son is now making judgments, in his office. You see this office up here called trustee? Jesus did not have the office of creator. He had the office of redeemer. Whenever Jesus redeemed anyone, that was the Father. The Father gave him that job, redeem anyone. So Jesus said something like this, whosoever will may come. I'll save anybody. Anybody can get redeemed. Wow. He just opened the doors wide. Riffraff, nasty people. Hypocrites, liars, everybody can come. Whosoever will, y'all come. It's beautiful. That Jesus, he could redeem anybody. He was no respecter of persons. You could be a liar. You could be a thief, a harlot. It didn't make any difference. Everybody's welcome. Man, isn't that amazing that Jesus will just lower the bar? He'll just lower it so low that anybody could get in. That's how I got in. I got in because he laid the bar right on the ground. Jim, you think you could get over that? Yeah, I think so. You know, it just, you know, there wasn't much of a jump. That's about as high as I could go. I'm not much for, you know, proving how great I am. So I just kind of like fall over. Let's see if I can get over. Jesus set it up. He rigged it so that I could win. It's kind of like those Olympics, those Special Olympics. They set it up so those kids, you know, a kid in a wheelchair ain't going to vault over the pole or something. So they set it up so those kids can do a lot of stuff too, and they rig it. Do you all understand? They rig it so they can win in their own way. That's the way God does it. He rigs it so that the 2-year-old and the 18-year-old have a different way. You rig it so the little kid at the 2-year-old wins too. Everybody wants to win. So God's rigged it so you could all win. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son. So when you honor the Son, you don't honor him because he's Jesus, you honor him because he's God's Son doing God's will. Even as they honor the Father, in the same way that they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him. Jehovah Witness. Jehovah Witness say, we're honoring Jehovah, but they will not worship Jesus as his Son. I ask him, is Jesus Almighty God? No. Only the Father is Almighty God. Well, you just dishonored him. You just dishonored him. Because you won't worship him. But in the Bible, they worshiped him. And I go and show them all the scriptures. And I'm telling you, it shakes them to the core. Because they wonder, hey, wait a minute. I ask him, well, just tell me one thing. Is Jesus God? No, Son of God. Oh, okay. Where'd you get that? And then they go and show me where they got it. Ah. Well, let me ask you something. You think you should worship Jesus? Man, that's a stumper for them because they don't know what to say. Well, we should venerate him. Venerate him? Is that the same as worship? They don't know. You can't. He's not the Most High God. Okay? So can you worship him? See, whatever way they go, they're wrong. They know it. They're going to be damned if they do and damned if they don't. Because if they say they're worshiping a creature, that would be blasphemy. And if they don't worship Jesus, that'll be blasphemy too. Whatever way they go, they're going to be wrong. Because I'll show them people in the Bible that worshiped him. Hello? Then they'll say, well, it doesn't say that. I'll say, what is the word in the Greek? What word is used? Show me the word that worship God, and show me the word that says they worship Jesus. Same word, proskuneo. Same exact word, kiss the hand. To worship the Father and to not worship the Son is to dishonor the Father who has honored the Son. Put him forth. Even all my angels worship him, he said. Mary Magdalene fell at his feet and worshiped him. Doubting Thomas fell at his feet and said, my Lord and my God, and worshiped him. Jesus is worthy. Read the whole book of Revelation where they worship the Son, equal to the Father. So you have to pay attention to what God says. God says right here, truly, truly, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. All right? The trustee is sent by the Father. The grantor up here is the Father. He sends the Son. All right? He that heareth my word, that is the trustee's word, number four, and believeth on him, number one, that sent him, sent me, has everlasting life. You got to believe in two things. One, the one that sends, and the one that sent. If you disbelieve, you're not of God. You just dishonored the Son. He has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. All right? Who are the dead? You are. You're dead in your sins and trespasses until you hear the voice of the living God. When you hear your Father in heaven speaking to you through the Son, you realize, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. How many of you have the abundant life? You know what it is? Seeing the Father. Hearing the Father. Through the trustee. Jesus was a trustee. David's a trustee. Mark's a trustee. I'm a trustee. You're a trustee. You're a trustee. You've been entrusted with the gospel to tell others. How do you know you'll say what God's saying? Because he told you to say it. Wherever you go, tell the good news. God's good. You've been appointed by the living God. It's his will. It's his will for you to do his will on earth. My Father is working still, and I am working. As you work, so the Father is working. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in you, through you, to others. Hallelujah. God is good.